If you want to open up to 1 Corinthians 13, the famous passage about love. We're going to be talking about love today. Everybody say love. I remember Pastor Oscar preached on this a while back and he sung to us, "All you need is love. All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun." Well, the truth is, God is love. You might hear a lot of people say love is love, but I'm actually here to tell you God is love. God is the author of love. And we're going to have a look at this passage here today, a beautiful passage. I encourage you, whenever we take notes here at New Hope, whenever you hear a sermon, please take notes. Please write down the Bible passages, write down the quotes, write down the dad jokes. Take a note of it all and research it, study it, feed yourself on this word. This is just the start of the sermon today. The actual application of the sermon is throughout the week. So make sure that, before the sermon today, I forgot. That's the other thing I forgot. We've got Janet Yeo coming to share about a trip to Cambodia. That was on my notes there. I forgot about it. So Janet just came back from an amazing time over in Cambodia. And once a month, we're going to have a special mission spot here in the church. So please give a massive welcome for Janet Yeo. Woo! I was all thrown because the video didn't work and I didn't know what was going on.
Morning, everyone. How are you? Yeah, praise the Lord. So I just wanted to share a little bit. Matt's invited me to share a little bit about the Cambodian trip. And this is the sixth time I've been over to Cambodia through connections with our church and with Pastor Matt. There's a church over there called Heartland Church. It was planted out of a church in Australia. And each trip is always different. Each trip the enemy comes against me and tries to stop me from going and get me discouraged and different tactics. But we're called to be overcomers, aren't we? We're called to overcome. And this trip, my husband had eye surgery 2 weeks before I left. He had to have surgery and then he had some complications with that. But we just had to sort of believe, well, you know, God, if it's your will, you'll make a way. And I was due to go on the Monday night and the Thursday before, Chris was able to drive again. So he had his independence and got a good prognosis from his surgeon. And praise God, through all the ordeals he's been through this year, he has better than 20/20 vision in that eye that was operated on. Hallelujah. So quickly after the surgery. And we just thank you for all your prayers. I also wanted to say thank you for all everyone who's prayed for the trip. I mean, the Lord tells us when to pray, and I know many people said they would pray and have prayed, because when you go to a foreign nation, you can actually sense that people are praying for you, and you feel extra protected and covered in God. So it's so important we pray for each other when you're being sent out. I really appreciate all your prayers. When I first got to Cambodia, I actually got quite discouraged. I stay in contact with the church, but the enemy has been trying to attack the church big time. One of the other ministries that we've been involved with in our church, Ben and Cherie McConnell, I was devastated to hear that they've broken up, temporarily at least. We believe that God will restore their marriage, but that was a real discouragement. Also, the pastor of the church I serve in was, you know, feeling like giving up. It just made me realize how much we have to pray and how much we need to be praying for the nations, because the enemy, see, over there, it's 99% Buddhist. So there's so many demons and so many evil spirits attacking, and the poor 1% Christians are trying to get the gospel out there and they're under such attack. The pastor's wife, Simi, was feeling she needed to do some prayer and intercession and prayer and fasting, and she'd never done it before. So God sort of used me to come alongside her, and we prayed and fasted together for 5 days. And, you know, she'd bring steamed vegetables to my room and we'd have a time of prayer together. So I'm happy with God to use me, however, and same as whenever we go, you know, just being available to serve however God wants to use you is the right attitude. And that was really great to be able to do that. We sensed, you know, being much more encouraged during that time. And what else happened? So one of the things that church does is they've been going into the prison, the Kampong Chang prison. And they had about 800 prisoners there several years ago. It's up to 1,500 now, a lot of drug-related crimes. But about 5 or 6 years ago, there was 0% Christians in that prison. And Pastor Chan says now is over 40% Christian. And a lot of those people pray for each other. They pray for family members. They share the gospel. When they get released, they're sharing it. So God's really doing a work. There's such favour. Also, Satan tried to take that ministry out. A couple of months before I went there, they brought in all this red, the government brought in all this red tape, and they needed forms and paperwork, and it was going to cost, I can't remember how many US dollars, I think it was over 1,000. It was a massive hurdle, but they just prayed. And believe it or not, one of the Parisian officials went and did it all and paid for it all and rang Simi and said, "We've sorted it out, come back." It was a miracle. So he opened the door again. And so the Bible study gets run twice a week. And now one of the young pastors that's been on staff for just over a year has started an English class. And the prisoners pay a small amount of money, which he received as part of his income. And they go five times a week for an hour to learn English. And as you probably realise, yeah, English is a great opportunity for them because it opens up job opportunities for them in the future. So I was able to take one of those classes, and it's such fun because you get to act a bit, and it's really fun just teaching them. And they're so diligent. They did all their homework, and yeah, so that really love. It's a great blessing to go and serve in the prison where people have got a great amount of time and opportunity to have their lives transformed by the Lord. They pray for each other and share their testimonies. We prayed for a couple of women experiencing stress, and the Lord delivered them from that straight away. But they really have faith, and they see a lot of breakthrough with healings and overcoming. So it's great. Also, one of the reasons I went was to teach finances, and the Lord opened some doors, and some doors weren't quite open, or I was sick. Unfortunately, couldn't share on one occasion, but He'll provide the opportunity, I'm sure, in the future. The women that received the teaching in the women's group, and then also through the other times we shared, we heard some testimonies such as they'd never heard of doing a budget. They didn't even know that you could actually plan your finances. You could actually write down your money and plan and think about it rather than just being sort of haphazard. So people got revelation about that. It was really simple teaching. One was about tithing. Someone had got offended by a previous church who was using the money wrongly, and so had stopped tithing. The Lord convicted her to start tithing again, so she's going to start again. Also, debt. People didn't realise that debt can be a trap, it can be a snare, that God actually speaks against, you know, getting into debt and having too much debt. And she realised she needed to focus on getting rid of her debt. So there was just a few testimonies came. I'm sure there were quite a lot of others, but it's just simple teaching, but it's opening their eyes to the truth of the Word of God, and also that He's their provider. So a lot of people came to get prayer to help them to trust God to provide. So that was really encouraging. On the topic of provision, God's taken me to a new season where I resigned my job a couple of months ago in the church, and so I'm trusting Him for provision. And to go on the trip, you know, I didn't have the money there, and I was blessed by two people who sewed into that, and then I still went over with quite a big gap. And the first day I arrived, the hotel room I was going to stay in was going to be $35 US a night, but I was saying to God, I really want one for $25 US a night, and I really prayed about it and thought there'd be a cheaper room in that hotel. When I got there, Simi said, "I hope you don't mind, but this new hotel that was being built when I was there last, which was really glamorous, has an opening special half price, $50 rooms for $25 a night, including breakfast as well, a great big buffet breakfast of Asian food, so that saved me on meals. And then they upgraded me to a deluxe room because the room wasn't ready on the 7th floor, and was able to pray over Cambodia from up there on level 7. So it was just God's favour and blessing. And I tell you that not about me, but about God, how faithful He is, how good He is, how He answers our prayers. Between the hotel room, the breakfast, saving on the van and something else, it was about $300 US I saved on that trip on day one. And I thought, wow, God, you're amazing. That's $400 Australian He cut from the bill of the trip. Naturally, I was able to sew in some money to the people over there as well with some of their needs. So God is faithful. He's good. Please pray for the churches in Cambodia and other nations. I'm really getting convicted that we're too complacent, and I believe the Lord is, personally I believe He's speaking to me about a season of prayer and fasting, and I'm not sure whether He's saying that for the whole church, but I just want to share that now, that I think we need to seek the Lord, whether it's time to fast and pray again. There was a Jensen Franklin clip that Simi sent me when I was over there about the prayer and fasting, and then that arrived through Pastor Dave. I got that again yesterday, and it's about fasting for complete victory. And I believe it's worthwhile watching that clip, and maybe that's what we've got to do with this marriage thing. I don't know, but I'm sure there's people already doing it. So I just want to pray for the church in Cambodia. So, Lord, we just thank you that you love Cambodia. We thank you for all those people that have prepared to lay down their lives to serve you with not a lot of resources in the natural, but we know you'll provide supernaturally, Lord, as they put you first. We thank you that they're called to overcome. We say to you, Satan, you are defeated. And Lord, we just pray that you bless the church, just bless them and encourage them, release blessings, release provision, bring other people to encourage them, Lord, and send more people out, Lord, from our church and for other churches. We're such a blessed nation. Help us lay down our lives to pray, to fast, to go out, and let us not worry about provision, Lord. You're the Jehovah Jireh. If you call us to go, you will make a way and you'll provide. And we trust you and we thank you. We thank you that this church has been prophesied to be a mission sending church. And what we're seeing is only the tip of the iceberg, Lord. And I just pray and release that over everyone here and everyone that's not here today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Janet. Come on, give Janet a big hand. Give her a hand of encouragement. And one thing that was in the announcements as well is that the CAP Money course is coming up, which Janet is going to be running. If you want to be a part of the Christians Against Poverty budgeting course, learn how to be a good budget. I see that hand. I see both those hands. See Janet. It's coming up on a Saturday in a couple of weeks. 14th, Saturday the 14th. So if you want to register, you just go to the What Now table after the service. And if you want to be a part of the CAP Money course, if you want to volunteer on a team, if you want to join a Connect group, if you want to know about anything in the church, head to the What Now table after the service. Okay, now we're going to continue this series on love today and unpack the practical application of what is biblical love. How should we love each other in the church? It's a good question to ask. In our marriages, how should we love each other? Do we love the poor like Jesus told us to? Do we love our enemies? Today I'm believing for a revival in the Father's love. And I just really want to encourage Janet. Janet went to Cambodia because of the Father's love. She didn't go because she wanted a holiday. She didn't go because she wanted to spend all that money on a ticket. She didn't go because she wanted a break from Brisbane. She went because she was compelled by the Father's love. And Janet, I've got this verse for you. We're going to unpack 1 Corinthians 13, but verse 7, you know how, Janet, you said before the trip, Chris had all these health problems and there was money problems and then you got discouraged and all, you know. This is what love does. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. How many of you know that with God's love, we can make it through, amen? When we're discouraged, when we're troubled, when there's struggles, we can make it through because of God's love, amen? And every one of us, we all have struggles. We all have attacks. We all have problems that come against us. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, like Peter stepping out of the boat, you fix your eyes on Jesus and you just keep going on in faith. And it's, what does it say? It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. You know, after 25 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of people who are great at starting out doing something for God. But then when the struggle comes in, they quit. They move on to somewhere where it's easier. They move on to something different. They don't persevere. They give up. I'm here to tell you that the agape love of God never gives up. Amen? I just want to encourage you, Janet, a great example of agape love. You know, yesterday, Carol and I visited our dear friend Maria. 12 months ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer, a brain tumor. And it has crippled her. She's literally in a wheelchair or in bed. She can only speak through the corner of her mouth. She can only use one hand at the moment. Her whole body's just been crippled by this horrible brain tumor. And yesterday, my beautiful wife Carol, her best friend, just got out the smartphone and started interviewing her just to get some memories of her life. And we've been praying and believing for her miracle, amen, for the last 12 months. And we will keep praying and believing, amen. And Carol interviewed her and said, "What do you think about your husband, Andrew?" And she said, "I love him." She said, "He will do anything for me. He is so unselfish." And I thought, there's an example of agape love. The Greek word for love is agape. God's love is agape. It's unselfish. It's where, like she said, he'll do anything for me. He's a loving, godly husband. And I thought, there's a beautiful example of agape love. And then Maria went on to Carol, and Carol, her beautiful friend, said, "Is there anything we can do for you?" And she said, "Can you bring a copy of the DVD Beaches so we can watch it together?" And I just, anybody seen that movie Beaches? I'm crying already. You know what it's about? It's about little Bette Midler and a friend. Bette Midler's the singer, the redhead dancer. Her friend's this smart lawyer, business kind of woman, you know. And they grow up together, go their separate ways, and then in the end, one of them gets cancer, and, you know, it's heartbreaking. And they go away to this beach house together, and they just love each other as friends. And I thought, looking into the heart behind it, that's why Maria wants to watch Beaches with Carol, because she's her best friend. She wants to spend that time with her. And so we're going to go over there and take her the movie, get out the tissues. But you know what? That is agape love, isn't it? Love that never gives up. Love that doesn't quit and take off. Love that stays, persists, sticks there through the good times and the bad time. Love doesn't look at the circumstances and go, "I'm out of here." Agape love stays there through the storms, amen? In sickness and in health, good times and bad time, good weather and bad weather, love persists and never gives up, doesn't it? Amen? And I told Maria we'd pray for it, so let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just lift up our dear sister Maria. Yesterday she said, "I love Jesus, but he's testing me." And we just held her hand and loved her and prayed for her. Prayed for her husband and her kids. Lord, we know you love her. We pray that you'll just give her comfort and peace and healing right now. We rebuke that brain tumor. We tell it to shrivel up and go in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. We will stand and believe for a miracle in the name of Jesus. 100% health and healing, that she'll be raised up, Lord God. And we just pray you'll stretch out your hand and do that miracle on her today. We bless her in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. I was at our Connect group on Friday night talking a bit about love and talking a bit about spiritual battles. Anybody here been through any spiritual battles? You know, we've got that evil one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. Old Hairy Legs, he's always after us. He's always trying to lie. He's the father of lies. You can't trust a word he says. But you know what? Sometimes you can let it get to you, and sometimes it can drag you down. But the Lord gave me this great picture, and I was sharing it at Connect Group the other night. Anybody seen the movie The Matrix? I love the movie The Matrix. It's about a guy named Neo, which is like the word one, like the Messiah, you know. And he's this guy who's out to save the world. It's like the typical kind of save the world, you know, sci-fi kind of movie. But basically, he works out that this world is actually fake, and it's actually another world that really exists. And it's a little bit like us. We live in this world, but it's really angels and demons and the Holy Spirit and God. And, you know, there's actually a spiritual realm that's actually the real world. So there's this whole parable in The Matrix. But there's this scene where the bad guy, Mr. Anderson, it's actually an Aussie actor, Mr. Anderson is coming up against him, and he's shooting at Neo. And Neo, all of a sudden, taps into The Matrix. And as the bullets are coming, he's just like, and the bullets are like, and all of a sudden he realizes that time is standing still. And as the bullet comes, he goes, And then he stands up again and realizes he's got the power over Mr. Anderson, the evil guy. And he starts, and he's pushing the bullets away, and then he smashes Mr. Anderson, and he's an overcomer. And how many of you know that's what happens when we have God's love? When we get into that spiritual realm and we receive the Father's love, and the enemy comes against us, we hold up that shield of faith against the fiery darts of the enemy, and they're gone, amen? We take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, amen? And we can fight against the enemy as overcomers. I'm here to tell you, when we receive the agape love of God, it's like we're in the Matrix. Or it's a bit like that other movie that I watched about my wife the other day, Wonder Woman. Good call. Brownie points, yeah. See what I did there? Wonder Woman's got these golden bracelets that she has. And she has this truth lasso. She can throw it over someone and they have to tell the truth. It's a bit like the Spirit of Truth, amen, the Holy Spirit, you know. She's fighting against the god of Ares, you know, some Greek god thing that they come up with in the movie, you know. She saves World War II. There you go. I've spoiled the movie. Anyway, but basically, she's fighting and all these bullets are coming against her and she's going, chung, 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 and she just takes out her sword and poof, she fights. That's what it's like. How many of you know the greatest weapon is love? The greatest weapon that God has given us is love. But we can't show God's love in our own flesh, in our own strength. It's only by the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the Holy Spirit that can give us love for one another, love for the lost, love for the poor, love in our marriages. The number one key you need to remember, if you want the agape love of God, you've got to ask Him for it. Ask Him to fill you with His love. And then you'll be like in the Matrix. Then you'll be like Wonder Woman or Superman or Batman or whatever hero you want. Jesus is the greatest hero, amen? Amen. Isn't it funny? All these superhero movies, it's all about there's a bad guy who comes against a good guy and the good guy finds his powers and then he overcomes the bad guy and wins in the end. It's the gospel, isn't it, amen? It's the gospel. They're all dreaming in Hollywood about a savior, but Jesus is the only great savior, amen? I'm preaching myself happy here today. This is good. So the Greek word agape is often translated love in the New Testament. How is agape love different from other kinds of love? The essence of agape love is goodwill, benevolence, and willful delight in the object of love. Unlike our English word love, agape is not used in the New Testament to refer to romantic or sexual love. So you know how people say love is love? I'm here to tell you love is not love. God is love, amen? We've got to make sure we understand and we don't get fooled by these clever marketing slogans. Agape is not used to refer to romantic or sexual love, nor does it refer to close friendship or brotherly love, which is the Greek word philia. Agape love involves faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Commitment and an act of the will. Say act of the will. Agape love is deliberate, amen? An act of the will. It is distinguished from other types of love by its lofty moral nature. Everyone say moral nature. What's moral mean? Right and wrong. How many of you know there is right and wrong? Some things are right and some things are wrong. Some things are good and some things are evil. But in this day and age, people are calling evil good and good evil. Let's make sure we don't get deceived by what is good and what is evil. Agape love has a moral nature and a strong character. Agape love is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians 13. Agape love does not come naturally to us. Because of our fallen nature, we are incapable of producing such a love. If we are to love as God loves, that love can only come from its source. This is the love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us when we become His children. Anybody here a child of God? Who's a son and a daughter of the Most High God? You are royalty. You are a prince or a princess of the King of Kings. And we need to learn the supernatural ways of royalty. And our King is the God of love. Our King is love. We've got to live like we're royalty, amen? Live like we're royalty, like the King. So let's have a look at this passage. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, or another version says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, many of you know me, I love to pray in tongues. I love to speak in tongues. I love the different kinds of the gifts of the Spirit. It's great to have them. But if you don't have love, it's worthless. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, you know, it's great to have prophecy, isn't it? The Bible says, so this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, is sandwiched between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Isn't that clever that I worked that out? Yeah. But those two passages, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, are all about spiritual gifts. 9 spiritual gifts. It's so good that we've got tongues and interpretation, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, gifts of faith. All great, all those gifts. And Paul teaches how they're important to seek after them, especially to prophesy, because it's the greatest gift. Amen? So important. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 has all these guidelines about how to use spiritual gifts. But sandwiched in the middle is this passage here, 1 Corinthians 13. Because there's no point being a super spiritual person with all the super spiritual gifts if you don't have love. If I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, reminds me of, I heard that joke recently. One prophet rings another prophet and says, "Hi, you're fine, how am I?" Sorry. But if I had such faith that could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't have love, I would have gained nothing. It's great to give to the poor, isn't it? Amen? See, all these things are great. It's great to speak in tongues. It's great to prophesy. It's great to love others. It's great to give to the poor. It's great to do all these things. Paul's not saying anything against these things. He's just saying, don't do it without love. Don't do it. Because, you know, it's interesting. The only people that Jesus rebuked and got mad at were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were Sadducees because they were sad, you see. He called them hypocrites. He called them whitewashed tombs because they were doing all the right religious things, but they were putting on a show. They were praying on the street corners. Look how holy I am. They were giving their money to the altar. Look how good I am. There's nothing wrong with bringing your tithe. There's nothing wrong with praying. Just don't do it for a show. Do it for Jesus, amen. Do it for an audience of one. That is love. Don't do it so you can look good in front of everyone. Do it because you know it's the agape love of God to do it and not care about you getting the glory. You give the glory to God, amen? Okay, next screen there. Love is patient. Oh, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Anybody else pray that prayer? Love is kind. We need a revival of kindness in the church. I'm serious. Some Christians think they can get away with murder with the things we say about each other. Some Christians I hear saying horrible things about pastors and preachers and churches. Why do we waste our fire on friendly fire against each other? We should use our fire against the enemy, amen? We need a check-up for the neck-up. We need to eliminate our stinking thinking. We need to start showing kindness and love to each other. It's the simplest of things to do. We've just got to be kind to each other. Stop calling each other names. Stop backstabbing each other. You know, in the armor of God, you've got the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt buckle of truth, gospel boots of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. There's nothing on your back, is there? Why do we use our sword to backstab other believers when their back's open? What we should do is, come on, Joe, We should have each other's backs. Amen? I can fight everyone in that 180. He can fight everyone in that 180. Amen? Let's fight the devil with our sword, not backstab each other. Let's be kind to each other. Come on, brother, give me a hug. Let's love each other in the church. Amen? Let's love each other. Let's be kind to each other. This is how the whole world will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. When people talk about New Hope Church, they shouldn't say, oh, they're a bunch of weirdos that do all this weird stuff. They should go, those guys are love junkies. They just love people. They show crazy love to people. They give away stuff to people. They take people into their homes. They're so generous. They love me like I've never been loved in my entire life. That's how people should talk about the church, amen? Kind, loving, ridiculously generous. That is the agape love of God, amen? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. There's a whole sermon in each one of those words there. Love is not jealous. You know, one of the biggest sins we commit as Christians is comparing ourselves to others. Oh, I wish I was as good as that preacher. I wish I was good as that leader or as that person. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't get jealous and go, I wish I had what they had. Be the best you that God's called you to be, amen? Don't compare yourself. Don't get jealous. Don't be boastful. Don't always talk about how good you are and this and that. Boast in the Lord, amen? Don't be proud. You know, the Bible says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need to humble ourselves. Don't be rude. We've got to have just common sense with the words we choose, with the way we treat people. You know, the book of James says, don't save the best seats for the rich people. Let anyone come and sit up the front, amen, or the best seat at the table. Doesn't matter how good you are on the outside. What matters is that every one of us is a child of God and is loved by God. Amen. Let's make sure that we're not rude to one another. We've got to be caring and loving. Love doesn't demand its own way. Oh, this is a big one. So many of us are believers, and I believe Sherry's confession before was just so powerful. She's prayed so many prayers wanting the answers for herself. And even what Nivea said before, we ask with the wrong motives, don't we? We ask selfishly. We've got to pray. Oh, Sherry shared that, did she? Yeah. We've got to pray and make sure that we're not demanding our own way. Love is selflessness. Everybody say selflessness. I remember when I was discipled as a young man, my youth pastor was a guy named Steve Pratt. And he's a great guy. Looked like the guy off the Captain Snooze commercials, if you know what that guy looks like, Rod Quantock. Anyway, and he used to say to me, Matt, being a Christian is dying to yourself. Dying to yourself. Take yourself off the throne and put Jesus on the throne, amen? It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. That's a big one. You may have forgiven people. Have you forgotten their sin? Or do you remember it every time? When you've been wrong, do you go, oh, yeah, remember that guy. Yeah. Oh, I remember what that guy said. Have you really forgiven? C.S. Lewis says, I can forgive the inexcusable in others because Christ forgave the inexcusable in me. Jesus said, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. We've got to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Put up a sign that says, no fishing. Don't drag it up anymore, amen? Keep no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out, amen? Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8 says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Paul goes on and says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now, we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And that I know now is partial and incomplete. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, we went through a whole bunch of definitions of love there. We said love is patient, love is kind, isn't jealous or boastful. Could we take out the word love and put our own name in there? So I'll pick on Annie over here because she's smiling at me right now. So could we say Annie is patient, Annie is kind, Annie is not jealous, Annie is not boastful or proud, Annie is not rude, Annie doesn't demand her own way. Her boyfriend Saul's going, yeah, this is good. Are you listening to this? I shouldn't have said that, should I? I've done it now anyway. Yeah. Annie doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Annie never gives up. Annie never loses faith. Annie is always have. Could you put your name in there? Janet, could you put your name in there? Joe, could you put your name in there? Kay, could you put your name in there? You could? This is your homework this week, everyone. Go through 1 Corinthians 13. Put your name in there against all of those definitions of agape love. If anyone gets it perfectly, you get... I'm just going to say, I doubt anyone will get it perfectly, okay? I'm just going to say that right now. Because in the flesh, we're all sinners, amen? We're all going to fall short of this list. But how many of you know the Bible says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect? How many of you know when you receive the Holy Spirit? See, every day is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. We wake up in the morning and the battle begins. We start with our selfish motives from the second we get up. And selfishness is the opposite of all these things, by the way. All this is selflessness. And the goal of a Christian is to die to the flesh and to live by the Spirit, amen? To live by the agape love of God, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We've got to crucify our sinful nature, die to our selfish ways. Let the Holy Spirit fill us and help us in all these areas of love. Whatever areas are your weaknesses in here, maybe you're not patient. I wasn't patient yesterday when I went onto the roundabout near our house and this big white four-wheel drive, it wasn't you, Cam, it was another guy, big white four-wheel drive, went right up the back of me because he thought I cut in on him, obviously, and rode me real close all the way to Brookside. And I was like, I'm going to go real slow here for this dude. I wasn't being very patient at the time. I was ready to pull over and have words with him. And I thought, no, that's not wise. That's not a good idea. He's probably bigger than me. It's, you know, don't get road rage. Calm down. Calm, blue ocean. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit. You know, I wasn't very patient in that moment. But you know what? I thought, I've got to bless him in the name of Jesus. So I said that. I said, Lord, I bless that guy in the name of Jesus. It was Friday afternoon. He was probably exhausted after a big week. He was probably anxious to get home. I don't know what his problems were, but I just had to bless him and be patient, amen? Maybe patience is your thing that you're struggling with. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's forgiving people of their wrongs. Whatever it is, this is your homework this week. Put your name in there, and whatever your weaknesses are, give them to the Lord. Maybe you could even write it on a piece of paper. I'm not very patient. Or I'm having trouble forgiving someone. Or I've got this. And then you can rip it up and say, it's at the foot of the cross in the name of Jesus. Amen? You can confess it and deal with it. Amen? I believe what the Holy Spirit reveals, he heals. Amen? Because this is how we're meant to be known. Believers who show the agape love of God? Are you known as a person who shows agape love? What will it say on your gravestone? How will you be remembered? I heard of one guy's gravestone. This guy said he's so tough on his gravestone, it's going to say, what are you looking at? You heard about the hypochondriac's gravestone. It says, I told you I was sick. Will you be remembered as someone who showed love? Will you be remembered as someone who cared for the poor? Will you be remembered as someone that could forgive your enemies? Will you be remembered as a godly husband or a godly wife or a godly father or a godly mother? Will you be remembered as someone who was bitter and twisted? You know, they say when we get older, we can either get bitter or better. Will you be remembered as someone who showed the love of God? Or will you be remembered as a selfish person that lived for yourself? The next Greek word we're going to look at today is the word koinonia. It occurs 20 times in the Bible. Koinonia's primary meaning is fellowship, sharing in common, and communion. The first occurrence of koinonia is in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Christian fellowship is a key aspect of the Christian life. Believers in Christ are to come together in love, faith, and encouragement. That is the essence of koinonia. Philippians 2 verse 1 to 2 declares, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Koinonia is being in agreement with one another, being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. Our koinonia with each other is based on our common koinonia with Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 verse 6 to 7 says, if we must say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A powerful example of what koinonia should look like can be found in the study of the phrase one another in the Bible. Scripture commands us to be devoted to one another, to honor one another, to live in harmony with one another. Anybody here love barbershop quartets? You know, you've got the bass, like Greg over here, the bass, then the baritone, then the alto, and the soprano, soprano. you know, you've got the four different, you know. How beautiful is it when they all sing in harmony together? How bad is it when one of them can't sing? They're singing this beautiful song, and all of a sudden, wrong note. Oh! But when they're in harmony, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? This is how we are called. We're called to have agape love for one another. And our fellowship is koinonia, brotherly and sisterly love. We are one. You know, one of Jesus' last prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I pray that those who believe in me will be one as I and the Father are one. Mind blown. Just think about it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They have been forever, they are now, and they will be forever. They have a perfect relationship, the Trinity. It's beautiful, isn't it? And they have invited us into their relationship. Is God love? If we're invited into his relationship, should we be showing love? It's only through Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, through that perfect relationship, that we can show this agape love and this koinonia love. We're meant to live in harmony with one another, accepting one another, serving one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Offer hospitality to one another and love one another. That is true biblical koinonia. You know, this week I had the privilege of going to the Gold Coast for a couple of days for Joshy's grade 5 camp. And I learned some great leadership lessons for our church at this camp. Basically, we had a group of us, about 10 of us in this group at this school camp. And what they have in the camp is this activity course where, you know, there's this area where you've got to walk over these planks and you've got to go through these tires and you've got to go around these obstacles. And the only way to get around some of the parts of the course is with these big planks. So a big plank about this size, a big metal plank, and it's got a rope on the end. And so the guy who was the leader of the course, he said, "Okay, everyone, listen to me. I'm going to give you some instructions." It's a little bit like my sermon to you right now, okay? I'm giving you some instructions about how to love each other. Are you listening, everyone? Okay, so this is what he said to the kids. These are 12-year-old kids, 11-year-old kids. He said, "Okay, kids, are you listening? To get through this course, you're going to need to work together. The only way to pass this course is for all of you to go through together and not leaving anyone behind, okay?" And the kids are going, "Yeah, okay." He says, "Right, now some of the areas you won't be able to get across to the other side of the course unless someone lowers a plank. You put your foot at the bottom of the plank and you lower it down with the rope. And then once it's down, you can all walk across. And then you've got to get another plank and do it again and go to the next bit. Then you've got to," they had three planks, "and get to the next bit. Okay, has everybody got that clear? You need to work together to get to the other side. Is that all clear?" And all the kids go, "Yeah." Straight away, two kids, really gifted, smart kids, went on ahead, took the plank, went on ahead, took the plank, and they turned around and went, "Come on, hang on. You were meant to come with us. We went on ahead and we left you behind." So they had to go back again and start again because they didn't listen to the instructor. How many of you don't listen to the instructions that we're given in the Word of God? How many of us don't pay attention to the simple lessons that are being taught to us? How many of us hear a sermon on Sunday and then go out and forget all about it in the traffic as we're driving out of the car park? The leader showed us how to lower the plank and he gave us some tips. Then he let us go. Many of the kids didn't listen. As the parents, he gave us authority to intervene if we wanted to. And basically, if someone fell off the plank, they'd have to go back and start again. The whole group would have to go and start again. And he said to the parents, "If you want to give them a little bit of grace, you can." And I'm a big softy, so I gave them a bit of grace. You know, a couple of times I thought, "Nah, you kids need to learn your lesson. Go back to the start all again," you know. But it was a fascinating lesson in teamwork. And we need to learn these lessons as a church. We need to listen to the leader when they tell us what to do. I'm here to tell you today, I'm preaching you today, not out of my own personal motive. I've got nothing to gain from doing this. I'm just preaching to you God's word, okay? I'm not trying to get rich by doing this job. I'm not trying to become famous. I'm not trying to, you know, puff myself up by doing it. I'm just here to serve God and be obedient to what God's told me to teach you, amen? Some people say, "Oh, you preachers, you're just full of..." I'm just here to try and tell you what God's word says, amen? Just to unpack the teach of God, the truth of God's word. But some people just, they don't listen to the preacher. So please listen when we preach to you. Look at you're all looking at me right now. This is really good. I should say this stuff more often. So we started off, we made some mistakes, we had to go back. The leader let us make those mistakes so that we could learn from them. How many times do you think God does that in our lives? How many times do you think God's saying, "Oh, I'll just let you learn that one and then you'll learn it better other than me telling you first"? Sometimes he tells us and he prevents us. Praise God when that happens. But sometimes he lets us make the mistake and we have to learn our own way. How must God feel watching us make those mistakes? You know, God sent his own son down to show us how to survive through those mistakes. God sent his son down to go through the activity course of life to show us how to live, didn't he? That's why we must follow the example of Jesus' love. Amen. Jesus went through every temptation, every trial that we go through. He went through it. We have a Savior who relates to everything we went through because he spent 33 years on this planet. going through all the struggles we go through. And he overcame them. Amen? As we're going through this activity course, I have to admit, I didn't listen to all of his instructions either. And I learnt better as I was going through it. Some people actually learn better by doing something than by listening. I actually think that's a great lesson for us as Christians. If you're maybe unsure about how to do evangelism, just start doing it and then you'll learn it as you make your mistakes. Amen? If you're unsure about how to pray in public, just start praying in public and then you'll learn how to do it. If you're unsure about how to serve at the soup kitchen or how to run a Connect group or whatever, just start doing it and you'll learn along the way. Amen? Don't just listen to the instructions and then forget it. Actually do something about it. Step out. Many Christians would learn more if they actually started sharing their faith or caring for the poor. And I started quoting Pastor Oscar at this activity group as the kids were, because they realized that they all needed to move together to get through the whole course. And I started saying to them, teamwork makes the dream work. That's one of Pastor Oscar's lines. It's a great line too. They learned to be a team together. And you know my son Joshy with cerebral palsy? He was the weakest link in the group because he can't balance. He was trying to go across the thing and he couldn't balance properly. And so one of his mates grabbed him like this, looked him in the eye, and said, let's do this together. And they walked across the course like this. And Joshy was like, and he's going, I can't do it. I'm going to fall. And his mate Kane, he goes, no, mate, I gotcha. I gotcha. I gotcha. How many of you know that's what happens when we follow Jesus? We might think we're weak. We might think we're going to fall. He believes in us. He says, I gotcha. Follow me. Keep your eyes on me. I gotcha. And some of the kids were probably thinking, oh, it's a pity we got Josh in our team because he's slower. But you know what? He's smart, my boy. There was a couple of times in the course when none of them could work out how to get to the next bit. And Joshua goes, hang on, what if we did this? Oh, yeah. He was valuable. Every team member's valuable, amen? Every team member's a 10 at something. Every team member has something valuable to offer. And in the church, let's make sure we don't leave anyone behind. The newest person, the youngest person, the most disabled person, the most troubled person, doesn't matter what their problems are. Doesn't matter in the world's eyes how you judge them as what their problems are. Let's not leave anyone behind, amen? Let's make sure we all make it through together. That's agape love. That's koinonia love. The other lessons we learned is that some strong leaders did emerge in the group. Some will be stronger than others. Doesn't mean they're better than the others, because they all play a part, amen? The other lessons we learned is that you've actually got to plan ahead. You've got to think ahead. How many planks will you need to get to this section? You've got to plan ahead. And we're always trying to do that as a church. Look to the future. What is God calling us to do? We've got to care for the weak ones. We've got to stop and think. We've got to communicate well to each other about how to get to the next level. We've got to follow the example of the leader and make sure that we get ahead. And you know what? The devil's plan to foil us, to stop us from doing what we're called to do, the devil's plan is to divide and conquer. And I saw this a couple of times in the group. A couple of times in the group, they were discussing things. And an argument blew up between two of the kids. And two of the kids got mad at each other. No, I think this way is better. No, I think that way is better. And the whole thing nearly went to custard right then and there. That's when I came and said, hey, boys, just calm down. We're nearly there. We can beat the other, because there was two teams that are having a bit of a race to get to. We can get there. Just calm down. Don't get mad at each other. Let's work this out together. That's what the Heavenly Father does to us, doesn't he? When we start to getting mad at each other, you know, Sue and Carol, they might get mad at each other. That's my seat. No, that's my seat. It's okay, girls. There's enough seats for everyone. It's fine. Calm down. That's what the Father does. He brings in peace. How many of you know Jesus is the Prince of Peace? The devil's plan is to divide and conquer. to pick out the weak ones, to pick out, to cause an offense between each other. I've seen this happen to three people in our church in the last fortnight, since I went away on holidays. The pastor's away, the devil causes all sorts of trouble. Just wait until we're finished, please. I've seen three people in the last fortnight in our church have issues with each other, and they leave in a huff, and they, oh, I'm not coming back to that church. Oh, I disagree. Oh, you know, that dirty devil, he comes in and tries to divide and conquer. And as the shepherd of the church, I'm going after each one of those people now, having a coffee with them, loving them, saying, hey, we're all going to disagree on something at some stage. There's always going to be some issue. Don't let it divide you. Don't let it separate you from the church. Amen? We're all meant to be one together. It's the glory of God to overlook an offense, the Bible says. Overlook it. Forget it. Forgive each other. Love each other. The devil's plan is to divide and conquer. God's plan is for us to be in unity. Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Psalm 133. Love never gives up. Love perseveres. Love is consistent. Let's all just bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you've called us to be one as you and the Father are one. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of love. You are love. And we need your love today. We need your love for each other. We need your love for the lost. We need your love for the poor. We need your love for the weak ones. We need your love so that we can humble ourselves and stop living for ourselves, but to live for you. Father, give us a revelation of your agape love today. Fill us with your love. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, I've got two questions as we close the service. Firstly, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? To receive the love of God, you need to be born again. The Bible says any man who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you want to give your life to Jesus today and be born again, you can receive the Holy Spirit who will fill you with the Father's love. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. If you want to be born again today, stop living for yourself and start living for Jesus. If you want to give your life to Christ with every eye closed, just put your hand up if you want to say yes to Jesus today. I see these two up here. That's great. Is there anybody else who wants to say yes to Jesus? Good on you, mate. I see that at the back there too. That's awesome. Is there anybody else who wants to say, yeah, I'm going to stop living for myself. I want to give my life to Christ today. Just looking around, if you want to give your life to Christ, just put your hand up high. Anybody else? Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my wicked ways. Deliver me from evil. I surrender my whole life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys that prayed that prayer. Why don't we all stand to our feet? For those that prayed that prayer today, we're going to give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus after the service. But I just want to challenge you today.